The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do? And get a people! Yes! What they want. Jalen Rose, special show today. Who's joining us later?
Nav is going to be here. He's been number one on the Billboard charts back-to-back times. He's joining Jalen and Jacoby today.
So excited about that. Jalen Rose, we're going to start with some wild speculation. Of course, it comes from our friend and colleague, Brian Windhorst. And he's just pointing some facts out. Number one, how come Colin Sexton hasn't been signed by the Cavs? Interesting. Maybe it's because...
There is Garland.
Maybe it's because they want to keep space open in case a gentleman by the name of LeBron James wants to return to Cleveland to play for the third time. Jalen, is this crazy?
It's not crazy. This is not the first time that this has been discussed.
No.
And the one thing that we know as people, but also in sports, is that you can always go home and people understand. Mm-hmm. The fans of the Miami Heat are like, all right, he going back to Cleveland. The fans of the Lakers will be like, all right, he going back to Cleveland. And so I believe LeBron won't win another championship with the Lakers. So now it's what are your goals? This year, he's going to become the NBA's all-time leading scorer. He's still playing at an all-NBA level.
Yep, sure is.
And we know Bronny's lurking in a couple of years. And so for LeBron, if the goal is to win a championship again, he will have to leave LA.
I think he's going to go wherever he feels he has the best chance to win another championship. And that doesn't feel like LA right now.
But here's the thing I want to also say to you, like, since he's so late in his career and such an advanced veteran, he's earned the autonomy because he's still balling to do this.
Well, I also want to point something out. When it comes to cap space, I want to point this out. Russell Westbrook's contract is coming off the books as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a way to re-tinker that roster in LA in the offseason in order to give him a better chance to win a championship.
Correct. But also, this is about Cleveland, right, and the ascension of that team. With Mobley and Jared Allen, Darius Garland, and what J.B. Bickerstaff has done as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's the build it and they'll come theory. That's what the Bucks did before they got Tom Brady. They built a team. Yep. They had a squad. They just needed a quarterback.
Yep.
And that's what the Cavs can be doing in a lot of ways. But I'm just going to put this one thing out
there. Oh, I love it when you do this.
He doesn't have the best relationship with Dan Gilbert.
No.
Who owns the Cleveland Cavaliers. So as much as it may seem like the Cavs are positioning and or it may be a good look for LeBron to return, I still think there's going to have to be a mending of those two gentlemen in particular if that's going to take place. But I think that's very far-fetched. I think overarching with all things equal, LeBron final team will be the Lakers.
I think so too. I think this is fun to talk about, but at the end of the day, I think he stays in Los Angeles with the Lakers. I think that's how it works. Do you have your phone?
I do.
Oh, good, because you're getting a call.
Okay, great.
Getting a call. GM Jalen. Let's go to GM Jalen. Jalen.
What up, though?
Congratulations on your new job. You're now the general manager of the Utah Jazz. No longer the general manager of the Nets.
Oh, I'm the general manager
yes.
of the Jazz?
Yeah, you're the general manager of the Jazz.
Okay.
I hope you're enjoying Salt Lake. I'm the Knicks. And we all know it's inevitable that Donovan Mitchell's going to end up here. Okay? So let's not go back and forth for months. Let's get this done right here in this phone call. Here is what I propose, a package that would bring Donovan Mitchell home to New York City.
Okay.
Quickly. Love Quickly. The floaters, great. Quentin Grimes. You see him in Summer League? Killing it. Obi Toppin.
Where was he playing?
Vegas, Summer League. Killed it. Obi Toppin. Derrick Rose to make the salaries work. And five. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. Five first-round picks. Now, I know that your goals are not to win games this year. Keep that in mind.
Why is that? Who am I trying to tank for?
Victor Wembanyama. I never say his last name with confidence. So, Jalen, this is a done deal, right? Five first-round picks.
In Victor, we trust. I'm trying to do everything I can to get Victor.
This is a great first move.
And the thing about when I was in Boston is I did the exact same thing. I amassed picks, and it turned into Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And that team ended up going to the NBA Finals.
Great. We got a done deal, man.
You saw how, you know, I moved Rudy. I got those picks for that deal also.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you're offering me.
Great young talent.
Is R.J. Barrett available?
You don't want to pay R.J. Barrett. He's up. You're going to have to pay him. You see what I'm saying? He's going to be up, so you don't want to do that.
I love Emmanuel Jalen Quickly, and I love Obi Toppin. Do either one of them start?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay, so you're trying to send me guys that don't start.
You're not trying to win games. You're trying to develop young talent and amass draft picks. That's exactly what I'm offering you. You see Obi Toppin go between the legs in a game?
He was doing that in college. He's doing that in high school.
So how do you
That's what he
deal?
Does. Let's talk about the five first-round picks.
That's what I'm talking about.
That really interests me.
Yes, there's five of them.
That really interests me. I believe if you could give me five first-round picks and you could swap out Grimes for R.J. Barrett.
No, that's not happening. You don't want to pay R.J. Barrett. Don't forget that.
Well, here's the thing about trying to tank. Just because we have R.J. Barrett in the West, that don't mean we're going to the playoffs.
But he's going to be on a different window than all of your draft picks.
No, he's not. He's young.
R.J. Barrett is not available. So.
Okay. Hello?
I'm tired of GM Jalen. I'm tired of you, dog.
I need R.J. Barrett.
You don't accept deals, and even when you do accept deals, you say you didn't accept the deal. You renege on it.
Dog.
I'm tired of GM
Jalen. I want those five first
round picks. I'm tired of GM Jalen.
I want those picks. I just got picks from Minnesota. I want the picks. But I need R.J. Barrett.
Let's move on.
I need a starter. Donovan Mitchell is an all-star, all-NBA player. What, he got the ninth highest scoring average in the history of the playoffs? And you're trying to give me some – like, I love the young players, don't get me wrong, but they're not starters for your team.
I believe it's seven highest scoring average in the history of the playoffs. Right. Let's move on to Zion Williamson.
I love Zion.
So this is interesting. A lot of clauses in contract in the news recently, and Zion Williamson has a weight clause. So the sum of his weight and his body fat percentage must stay below 295, which seems like a pretty high number, if you ask me. Mr. Rose, what say you about this weight clause?
So when we talked about Kyler Murray's clause and his contract on this show.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
I made sure to acknowledge not to panic. It wasn't a big deal. And guess what? It got removed. Zion's ain't getting removed.
No. I think it's reasonable, though. 295?
Here's the other thing I want to say. Zion's ain't getting removed.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so now let me talk about what's the difference. The difference is clearly the Cardinals had an issue one way, shape, or form with what they felt like was a lack of preparation by Kyler.
Yes.
Just like the Pelicans feel like Zion does a poor job of keeping himself in shape.
Does anybody else in the Pelicans have a weight clause in their contract? I don't believe so.
And so in this case, I'm just going to acknowledge this, and you just alluded to it. 295 is easy money.
That's not bad.
That's like 4 hours a week studying.
That
ain't nothing.
But I mean, body fat percentage, I don't know how that works, but it's not going to go higher than like 10.
Hey, dog, 4 hours a week, 295
is a lot.
Hey, dog. If he's 295, he's just going to damage
his... It's plus the body fat percentage, but you're getting to the point. It's about his health.
Correct. Like his lower extremities won't be able to continue to function consistently just being that athletic and having that build. So this is literally for his better health and judgment. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like this is not like a disrespect.
Which Kyler's felt like that. We'll talk about
correct,
Kyler in
correct,
a second.
Exactly.
But so, this is like, dog, you should be below 295.
Correct,
you
know what I mean?
Like,
correct,
you should correct, be there. Correct. If you're going to get buckets, you're going to play in the NBA.
I ain't going to lie.
At your height, you should be there.
I ain't going to lie. You ready for this?
What?
That should be 275.
That's what I'm saying. Well, 275 without the body fat part. But yeah, it should be around there. He should weigh around there. He really should. And the idea that it's in there tells you something about how they feel about him. Let's get to Kyler Murray because the saga continued with Mr. Murray.
Our God,
so let's listen to Kyler Murray react to the leaking of the clause in his contract.
Okay. To think that I can accomplish everything that I've accomplished in my career and not be a student of the game and not have that passion and not take this serious is almost, it's disrespectful. And it's almost a joke, you know. I refuse to let my work ethic, my preparation be in question. You know, I've put an incomprehensible amount of time and blood, sweat, tears, and work into what I do. It's funny, but I, you know, to those of you out there that believe that I'd be standing here today in front of y'all without having a work ethic and without preparing, I'm honored that you think that, but it doesn't exist.
He felt disrespected. We talked about it on the show. 4 hours is probably what he would be doing anyway. And then, of course, the Cardinals responded by doing what? They put out a statement. And their statement says, quote, after seeing the distraction it created, we removed the addendum from the contract. It was clearly perceived in ways that were never intended. Our confidence in Kyler Murray is as high as it's ever been. They offered him a $230 million contract, so they got to be pretty confident in him. What do you think about the way this whole thing played out?
So, let me get in the kitchen for a second. Let me get my Wolfgang Puck on for a second.
Puck.
First off, like I said from the beginning, the Cardinals ain't had a great quarterback. Shout to Kurt Warner. He led them to a Super Bowl, but he wasn't there a long time. It was like Neil Lomax. Went like in the 80s. Like,
kind of thing.
Like I literally say on this show every day, the greatest thing that ever happened to Cardinals football is Kyler Murray. So you take care of Kyler Murray. And so in taking care of him, you try to give him a backhand swipe. And so in his mind, 4 hours, no big deal. I'll sign that. I'm getting
my
bread.
How do you even police that?
I'm just getting my bread.
We can put a nanny cam in my house?
Hey, so let me talk to everybody about what it's like to sign a max deal. Okay? You just signed it. Like, that little fine print about the 4 hours and the 295 and all of that Zion weight. Like, I ain't even worried about that right now. Because guess what? I'm still going to get this money. I'm going to get this money. And the other thing that y'all didn't put up there for Kyler, it says, we showed our faith in Kyler by the contract we gave him. So always remember in business, I love you. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, bud.
But you know how you can reward me? Pay me.
Yes. Compliments are great.
Pay me.
Compliments are great.
Right? And so I got something else for critics of Kyler Murray. Let me just tell y'all something. That man is an elite quarterback. And I'm going to stand on the table for him. I'm going to stand on the table for Lamar. I'm going to stand on the table for Russell Wilson. I feel like those three human beings get unnecessarily slandered by the media. I truly believe that. Like, when I'm watching the game, like, I see those three do incredible things. Mm-hmm. Like, Baltimore, what are y'all doing?
Just playing.
What are y'all doing?
Who else is going to play quarterback for you?
What is Baltimore doing?
Who else is going to play quarterback
for you? Like, right? Like, come, y'all built the entire building around Lamar. Pay him. And so, for me, the four-hour thing was what was the Cardinals' ego, and it blew up in their face. That's why they're making a statement and not him. Coincidentally, he has to talk about it, and he's wearing a shirt that says
easy money.
Easy money. And let me teach everybody something. You know how tall Kyler Murray is?
Yeah.
He's like 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know how much of a student of the game he has to be at his size to be a pro football and baseball player? He came on this show and told us, I might play baseball. I'm looking at him like that's crazy.
Well, you see what Juan Soto asked for?
You see what I'm saying? And so I know even without D-Hop to start the season, that Kyler Murray is out to prove to people who are talking about how the team falls off at the beginning. They have a fast start, and then he slows down, and maybe it's because – no, it's not. It ain't because he don't prepare. It's because the other people are really good at football.
Yes, and he gets banged up as the season goes.
Correct. He's a small guy, right? And I know one thing. The image of him throwing that Hail Mary to D-Hop is all you need to know about Kyler Murray. His elusiveness, his toughness, his arm strength, his accuracy. And while that ball was in the air, he was wiping grass proverbially out of his face. He didn't even see the ball. Okay, so bet on Kyler like the Cardinals did. They're smart to take that out of the contract. But overarching, I thought that was always overblown. And it's now giving people a chance to slander Kyler. And he don't deserve it.
We should be celebrating the fact that he got a $230 million contract. Not talking about this this clause the whole time. Congratulations, Kyler Murray.
That's my guy.
I look forward to winning more money betting on you.
Exactly.
Last couple seasons.
Bet on Kyler every week.
Joining us in seconds, you do not want to change the channel because Nav, that man right there, chart-topping, hit-making Nav, joins us right after this.
Coming to you live from the Seaport in New York City, brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose joining us right now. Chart topper, hit maker, one of the best to ever bless a microphone. Nav, thank you so much for taking the time.
Got the number one spot. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate the love.
You just dropped new track with Lil Baby and Travis Scott. Tell us about this song and your new project.
I mean, it's just another time to work with the people that I love working with most. You know, I love working with Lil Baby. I love working with Travis Scott, and I'm glad we could get a song together, all three of us, for a great moment. You know what I mean?
Album on the way, Demons Protected by Angels. How did you come up with that title, and what can we expect on the album?
The title came from one of my really close friends. He designed a sweater that he made on his own, and the quote, fighting demons protected by angels, was on the back. And I asked him where he got that from, and he said he came up with that when his mother died and passed away, and he made that up on his own. So it wasn't even from Google or anything. So I thought it was really special, so I named my title after that.
Dope.
So your career follows a path of many successful artists that first started behind the scenes. You started as an engineer. What about being an engineer made you say, you know what, I'm gonna step in the booth?
Well, first it started with making beats, so I was a producer first, and then I got tired of waiting around when I'd sell a beat to somebody, and then we got to wait on somebody to record them, so I just learned how to record, and I bought my own equipment, so if I sold you a beat, I could just record you on the spot. So that naturally, when it came to recording demos and stuff, naturally I just recorded myself and made my own beat, and then next thing you know, I put it on SoundCloud, and here I am talking to you guys.
Your last two albums debuted at number one. Congratulations. That's an amazing feat for any artist, and well-deserved. But I have to ask you, who are some of your biggest influences as you decided that you wanted to rhyme?
I'd say, obviously, The Weeknd, Drake, Kanye West for sure, because, you know, he has a production background and everything, and he paved a lot of way for producing artists, so... Those three are probably my top three.
So you mentioned some Canadian artists. How important is it to you to rep your home country?
It's really important. You know, it carries there's a lot of honor involved and a lot of responsibility involved, and I love both.
So I play for the Raptors, and everybody knows how much I love Toronto. So can you let everybody who hasn't got a chance to kick it on King Street, Queen Street, and really enjoy Toronto like I have, what they should look forward to and where they should go if they are in Toronto?
Oh, man. There's a lot of good restaurants there, such as Soto Soto, Akira Back. There's even like nice regular spots on King Street like Ruby Soho. I mean, there's so much to do out there. There's so many clubs. I don't think if you go to King Street or something like that, somewhere like that, there's no chance of having a bad time.
You've worked with so many artists throughout your career. Is there one particular artist whose process sort of surprised you?
I'd say Young Thug. He could be doing anything, like playing video games, just relaxing, and all of a sudden it's time to record, and he just does it right away. No pen, no pad, and that changed the way I work. I stopped overthinking stuff and just turn on the microphone and just go.
So you and Travis Scott have collabed a lot in the past. What is it like working with him?
Honestly, it's like just like how it would be working with me. Like, he's a producer too, and he's a mastermind in himself. So it's kind of like two great minds coming together every time.
So you're a Raptors fan. They've been involved in rumors to put a package together to acquire Kevin Durant. Would you rather see the franchise keep the core they have or put it all in and bring Kevin Durant to Toronto?
Kevin Durant is my boy. We need him on the team. I would love to have him there.
I agree. I believe Masai Ujiri is the best general manager and president in the NBA. You guys just won the championship recently. If anybody can, he can. So what do you think about, how did you respond when the Raptors finally won their first championship with Kawhi Leonard?
I was really happy, but I'm not gonna lie. I was kind of one of the bandwagoners a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I for sure jumped on, you know what I'm saying? But I'm a big Curry fan. I'm just let that be known, you know what I mean? I have a Punjabi heritage, so naturally I'm a Curry fan. I'm not going to lie, I bandwagon a little bit. But, you know, I've always been a Raptors fan since the Vince Carter days, since your days, you know what I'm saying?
Jacoby can relate. He's a Die Easy fan.
I call it being a Die Easy fan, the opposite of a Die Hard fan. When y'all doing well, I'm with you. When you're not, I'm off it. How do you feel about that philosophy as a sports fandom?
Right, I guess I'm Die Easy too.
So what's next? You got any shows coming up? Any tours coming up? Where can the fans check you out?
I think my next show will be Rolling Loud of Toronto. And that's going to be crazy, crazy, because the album will be out by then. So I'm really excited for that show. Other than that, I haven't toured in like a year and a half because I never dropped. And also quarantine was crazy. So once I drop, I'll be on the road pretty much the whole year. So they can look out for a lot of shows.
When are you going to drop, and how can fans get it, and what should they expect?
Within the next month or so, I'm going to drop, and they can expect... My old fans, I tried to please them and give them the original sound. Also, the new fans that know me from the newer songs, I try to give them the new level of stuff too. So I'm trying to please everybody here.
So I know I'm showing my age with this question, but I have to ask, which song is going to have the video? And what can we expect in the video with the visuals?
Honestly, I shot a lot of videos, so... I don't know which one we're going to put out first. I'm glad this time we did a lot of shooting ahead of time before we dropped. So I have a lot of stuff in the tuck, and I will see what the plan is.
Nav, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Jalen and Jacoby. That's You're welcome back anytime. Congratulations on all your success.
Appreciate the love.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, guys.
Thank you so much. There'll be more from Jalen and Jacoby right after this.
Peace.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, every single day in the program, we recognize another day that Brittany Griner is still detained in Russia.
Wrongfully detained way too long. And we here at Jalen and Jacoby just wish her a speedy, safe return to the United States.
It is time for our signature segment, Sophomore for Bossman. Jalen, you went to the NBA Finals, won the Eastern Conference with the Pacers. Did you guys get a ring? Because the Bengals made AFC championship rings. Soft move or boss move? Conference championship rings.
David Jacoby taught me that people don't celebrate enough.
Mm-hmm.
And when you win the conference, that is a championship.
Is it?
They're the American Football Conference champions.
What about division championships?
Some teams like the Boston Celtics don't even acknowledge the Bengals. You know what I'm saying? But I am mad at the Bengals. They don't do this every year. I like it. And I like that it's silver,
I'm
not gold.
Soft move.
I like that it's silver, not gold.
Soft move. Oh, I like that too. Nice wrinkle. We'll be back on Monday, ESPN2.